mean, this should be a quick episode because there's only one question we need to ask, and that is she retarded?
Well, I mean, there's several.
Did her mom just emotionally stun her because she's a crazy cunt?
Season 4, episode 7, Ted and Carrie's bogus adventure. Sipowicz and Simone drive up to a building, and the uniform officer informs them that the woman requested Simone specifically because he helped her with a purse snatching, and said that there is a girl who locked herself in the bathroom upstairs who is a possible rape victim. The uniform officer then informs them that the elevator is out, so they're going to have to walk up 7 flights of stairs. Simone hits him with the joke, "I got friends in high places," and Sipowicz says, "Hilarious." And then they have.
Yeah, that joke wasn't. I mean, I didn't think that joke was that funny.
You didn't think it was that funny? It didn't pass the Kyle test of humor. I think that's hilarious was pretty funny, which I think was the. I think that was the true joke, is just Sipowicz hearing what he said and is like, "That's hilarious."
So I just think the whole opening is just to talk about how Andy is fat.
Well, they get up the stairs to go see if they can help this girl, and there is a girl inside the bathroom, and her mom is just berating her.
Oh my gosh, dude, it is unbelievable how horrible this mother is.
It's pretty terrible, because she said, yeah, she came home with her clothes all twisted and smelling like booze, and she's hanging out with those prep school kids that she knows she's not supposed to, and screaming at her through the door.
First of all, quick question.
Uh-huh.
If this girl is mentally challenged, and these are 4 prep school boys, how does she know them? She's not going to their school.
Well, according to the story, she would go to, what is it, Jenny's Java, or I didn't write down the name of the place, but the coffee shop near her where she lives, and those prep school dudes go to the same coffee shop to get their coffee. Okay.
So then she must be high functioning, like mentally challenged.
Well, high functioning enough to enjoy that. You
don't just let your mentally challenged, like 12-year-old, 13-year-old, go to Jenny's Java.
She's 17.
To just fucking hang out. You know what I mean?
She's 17.
Oh, okay, 17. Like, they wouldn't have. Like, you know what I mean? Like, maybe she's not mentally challenged, but maybe she has, like, maybe she's emotionally challenged. I don't know, but it's weird that, like, if she is mentally challenged and you think your daughter, and your daughter is, why are you letting her just, like, roam around fucking New York City?
And it was kind of strange. You know what I mean? Yeah, because she's, like, those prep school kids that she's not supposed to hang out with, and it's like, okay, well, how does she talk to those prep school kids? She goes to this Java place. It's like, okay, well, how about you just tell her you can't go to the Java place anymore? And you figure out a new place that she could go after school. Because I'm guessing she's a single mother and she can't come right home. That's what I imagine it is.
Oh, that's true. Oh, good one. Good one.
Thank you. Detective Kirk is on the case.
That's true. Maybe she doesn't come home right away. I don't know.
But
maybe she can't afford. I don't know. We don't know her whole story.
But the thing is she is like screaming at her through the door, and at one point, because Simone's trying to coax her out, Sipowicz says, "Are you going to shut your yap and let my partner do his job? Or are you going to shut your yap anytime soon?" So
Sorry, I just had a thought.
Uh-huh.
We see earlier that Sipowicz tries to take care of his... I don't remember the episodes that we've done, because I've been watching so many. We've already met his sponsor.
Oh, yeah. That was many.
And then his sponsor's son, he was mentally challenged, but he would go out and do things and function just fine. So I have to take back what I said.
I
could see her going to the Java place.
He was a little older, and as long as he took his medication and then had, like, a list of things to do, he was okay. I think that was
See, like, if she's a single mom and, like, she tells her to come home and instead she goes to the Java place, you know?
Mm-hmm. Eventually, the girl comes out with a doll, and her mom kind of tries to snatch the doll away from her, and the detectives are like, "Just let her keep the doll." And he's like, "We'll talk about this at the station house." And...
yeah, like, what is her obsession with taking this doll away from her? Like, she is being very unmotherly.
Well,
I feel like if you hear that your daughter may have been, like, sexually assaulted, raped, you shouldn't react like that towards her.
And it's I understand the idea of like, oh, well, she's maybe just a like tough love mother, but I was like, at some point that's got to like crack, doesn't it? That's got to crack because you're like, I can't scream at this person who has been taken advantage of, especially a mentally challenged person who is.
Yeah, at some point you just gotta chill the fuck out and like, oh, I don't know, like, I feel like if what I would do, and my brain says I would do, is I would chill out and see what they needed, and I would deal with my shit later.
And she keep,
I don't know, that's what I would hope I would do.
And
that's
she,
what I want to say.
Every single step of this process, she keeps saying, are you going to arrest them? Are you going to arrest them? And, like, they don't even have names. Like, they don't know what happened.
They don't know what happened. They know nothing.
He's like, well, we're going to go to the station and talk about it. And Sipwood says, after we walk down 7 flights of stairs. And then we get the theme song to NYPD Blue, or the opening. This is NYPD Blue Balls, where two brothers, me being Kirk, the other voice being Kyle, go through every single episode of NYPD Blue, and this is the theme song to NYPD Blue.
Is there even a second storyline in this one?
Oh, yeah.
What?
Let's get the second storyline, let's get the second and third storylines out of the way. Storyline number one is Diane is going to do some roller skating with Jimmy Leary, a.k.a. Christopher Maloney.
Oh, that's right. That's
Maloney
right. That's
Baloney.
Right. I have my Maloney here.
And, you know, he's a famous face from...
Hold on, before we get there... Yeah, you're right, you're right. Sorry. Yeah, but he bumps into a famous face.
He bumps into a famous face?
The guy who's... Well, he's roller skating, the guy he bumps into...
Who's
like
that?
I've seen him. He's a character actor I've seen in a lot of different things.
Because I checked his name, because I thought I had seen him before. His name's Andy Milder, but I couldn't like see anything that jumped out at me when I looked at his IMDb. But Andy
I'll
Milder.
Try to remember what he is. Anyway, I'll try to remember what I know him from. Because I do remember his face more from just this.
Diane goes out roller skating with Jimmy Leary because she's still undercover, and while roller skating with him, a gentleman runs into her and falls down, and then Christopher Maloney beats the shit out of him, and then, I believe, calls him a Jew boy?
Oh, yeah, yeah. This episode is also Jew jokes galore.
Because
Christopher Maloney shows that he is a... later on, too, when they're talking, he brings up like being a fellow monotheist or something, like.
And so, because he beats up that guy, and Diane calls an ambulance, and then they skate away from it. And later, when she's still yelling at him because she can't believe he did this, he says something like, "Yeah, what do you want me to do for the little Jew?" So then she gets up and walks away. And he's like, what do you want me to say? Do you want me to call him a Christ killer? Or our fellow monotheist? And I thought to myself, like, I don't think it'd be bad to call him a fellow monotheist, because that's just the truth.
So I watched this a week ago, and in between there's been a lot of things, but I think the only word I had written down was Christ killer.
Jesus.
Like, I was just like, but yeah, dude, it's just crazy.
When, then, like, they make up, but as they're making up after this traumatic experience of watching this man beat up a random rollerblader,
do you think he crossed the line? Do you think he, like, because the dude was kind of a dick. He ran into Russell and then basically was like, yeah, no problem. And it was like, well, you ran into her, like, don't be a dick about it.
Well, okay, am I to understand that you'd beat up the dude, like, within an inch of
concussion? Oh, no. I don't want physical violence, but he would have to apologize. He's not just going to get off being like, yeah, it's all good, we're good. It's like, no, you need to apologize, then we're good, and then we'll walk away.
The sequence of events is, like, even when you watch how he fell into her, like, it was clearly a staged, like, oh, he just fell, like, straight onto his knees and his elbow pads. And when he did, he then, Jimmy Leary just keeps kind of skating by, and then he's like, oh, and she's like, are you okay? He's like, oh, no harm, no foul, and then Leary kind of skates up to him, he's like, well, yeah, you ran into her.
Yeah, Exactly. He beats up the dude, and then the dude wants to come back and press charges.
Well, yeah, in between that, there's another important thing in between that. When Russell is talking to Jimmy, another great example of why Medavoy is the worst. Medavoy is running by with Abby Sullivan, who's Paige Turco, who, famous face, was the April O'Neil in the two later Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies. He's running with her.
Famous face for those two late Ninja Turtle movies.
Well, yeah, for all those that are huge fans of the...
Those fucking gems.
The Ninja Turtle movies. Secret of the Ooze and Turtles in Time. The reason it's important is Medavoy actually stops in the middle of the street to stare at Diane rather than
he jogs in place like an asshole.
Well, it's even more suspect because he's like jogging, stop in the middle of a street and stare at her, and then jog away. Maloney...
He might as well have done like what a dog does, like spun around real fast and then stared at you.
What all dogs do. But she...
When they, like, get crazy and they're messing around. And... Anyways, whatever. Fuck you.
Okay, thank you. The point was, Maloney immediately asks, who is that? And how does he know you? And she covers by making the joke, yeah, I'm sleeping with him. And that seems to throw him off the scent. In the second conversation, after the ambulance... takes care of the
only thing I want to talk about is how horrible of a mother this woman is.
I understand that, but there's other things, Kyle. It's gonna take like a...
I know.
It's just...
But the shit she says is beautiful.
She... Okay. The only thing I wanted to mention about Jimmy Leary is... Jimmy Leary mentions that he went to Catholic school and he was touched by priests in the second conversation.
But is that true?
I don't know.
Just being a smooth talker.
That smooth game of telling the woman that you were molested.
No, but he was like, you know him, he's a liar. Like, that's what he does. It's not hard to believe that he's just, like, spewing shit out of his mouth.
It's possible. It's just him talking, because he can talk.
Oh, I know it's possible, Kirk. I've watched enough cop dramas to know it's possible.
The Jimmy Leary thing is... ends with Russell talking to Fancy and this woman that we've never met before, who is clearly the head of, like, undercover, on whether or...
Yeah, I think she says she's the head of Vice.
The head of Vice, but wouldn't it be...
I think Vice is undercover.
Vice is just, like, isn't Vice just drugs and, like, other illicit substances?
I thought that was narcotics. I thought drugs is narcotics.
Drugs is narcotics. Isn't Vice like... Vice is... isn't that prostitution?
But it's like under... I think they do like undercover... I thought they did undercover stuff. I don't know. I mean, what the fuck? We're going based off of TV knowledge. I thought in the world of NYPD Blue, they did undercover. I thought she said something like... Do I have to... When she was starting this undercover, I thought she said something like, do I have to get shipped back to Vice, or can I work from my desk here? But I could be wrong. But it doesn't matter. But this lady... Yeah, she knows Diane because I think it's her old boss, basically. Diane basically went back to her old job just because this man came back.
Yeah. And
so it's her old boss, so they know each other. They have a previous relationship.
And what they're talking about is mostly... can she handle it, and can she keep it under control? Because obviously the dude is getting to her. And Fancy is more supportive, like, you don't need to do this, you can get somebody else to do this. And the other woman is like, so what's up with Bobby?
Even though she kind of knows. Because, like, doesn't Bobby walk by?
No, not when she's having that conversation with her.
Oh, yeah. So here in my notes, I wrote horrible acting between these two women.
It was not the best.
No. It was like, it started okay, and then it, like, dropped real fast.
And there was one quote that was kind of cool where she said, if you don't know if you're a good person, undercover's a real easy place to start thinking you're not.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's a pretty cool quote.
Yeah.
But the only thing we really learn is she thinks that she doesn't deserve a a life of marriage and children with Bobby Simone.
Yeah, that kind of comes out.
And the other thing we're learning is that everybody is giving her the ability to opt out. Even Bobby, who at the end of this episode says, we could pop him for beating up this guy, and then you don't have to even talk to him anymore. He'll flip. And she's like, he won't flip. There is no other option. And he's like, I'm just trying to give you solutions, man. And then she's like, yeah, you really sound like an old woman. And then he just like, he says, this old woman's telling you to kiss his ass. And then she flips him off and then walks out.
He gets so snippy, though. Like, when he gets mad with her, he gets so snippy. And he's like, I don't know, he's like, it's just a little bitch.
He also,
it's kind of funny.
He also said, when she said, oh, I'm going to go roller skating with Jimmy, he's like, bring your knee pads. And I guess it's supposed to be like a double entendre, but he's like, man, he's just looking out for her knees. You don't hurt your knees.
Yeah, well, she's sucking that dick.
Oh, jeez. The other storyline that's really quick is a guy named Fred, who shows up to the station and he'll only say, mama, wanna, whoop, and golly.
Oh, this guy. Oh, Jesus.
And Fred is a famous face for fans of Once Upon a Time. He is Ralph Sabarge, and he played Jiminy Cricket on Once Upon a Time.
I watched Once Upon a Time for a while, and I just like fell off.
Mm-hmm.
And when I tried to like get back on, like I watched an episode, and I like realized I had forgotten things, and I was like, I don't want to rewatch like all this stuff again.
It's kind of a show where I realized I'm not as much of a Disney nerd as I thought I was, and I don't have the patience for this kind of show. Because I watched a couple episodes into season one, and I was like, I don't think I have the time for this. Like, there's just so much else to watch and do.
That's true, too. That is also true. Like, it's not, like, the greatest show. It's good, but, like...
Sipowicz... He talks to him a couple times, and the first time he's just, like, joking with him. Where he's like, you said a real mouthful there, Fred. You're not biting the heads off birds. Because that's how Sipowicz knows him. He was biting off the heads of his mom's parakeets.
This is the episode of, I call, it's all past cases.
Yeah.
Jimmy Leary's a past case. This woman is a past case with her daughter, and then this man is a past case for Sipowicz.
Also, the councilman was a past witness. Councilman.
Yes, for both of them. Yes, 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 yes.
And this guy, he keeps coming back. Sipowicz kind of puts together that maybe something happened to his mom. He tries to call and doesn't get a answer, and then he takes him down to where he lives, and his mom was in the garbage. And he deduces through detective skills that she must have had a heart attack because of the drugs on her, and then he perfumed her up.
And the foam in your mouth, too.
What's up?
And the foam in your mouth, too.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's a sign of a heart attack.
So, he realizes that...
And then didn't he smell the perfume?
Yeah. He said perfumed her up so she wouldn't smell, and then he got her down to Bellevue. Or him down to Bellevue. All right, so the main story, the one that makes me angry and is very relevant for issues today. They go pick up the two dudes.
Hold on. We need to discuss that when they bring her into the station house to just tell her story, Sipowicz asks her, do you want anything to drink? And my favorite line... It's just funny the way she says and how she delivers it. The girl goes, she's like, soda, water. And he's like, oh, can I get cocoa? And the mom just quickly whips her head and looks at her and goes, you think you deserve cocoa? And it made me laugh. And then she immediately slaps her daughter's knees and says, keep your knees together. That's how they got there in the first place or something like that.
Oh, no, she doesn't add anything to it. She just says, keep your knees together.
Keep your knees together. Then, Sipowicz goes to Fancy and says, yeah, we got a dim bulb in there. So is she retarded?
The other thing that happens that makes no sense, after she says, you think you deserve cocoa, Simone says, I'll see you what we have. And she goes, she likes it a certain way. I'll go with you. And it's like,
oh, yeah.
They, what?
Yeah.
Does she deserve Coco or does she not deserve Coco?
Yeah.
They have the they have the talk.
Yes, yeah. So they talk to them about it. It's awkward.
It's a mentally challenged 17-year-old telling the story that these dudes, this dude bought her a muffin, and then four dudes all, they got her drunk, and then they all had oral sex with her in a hotel room.
Yeah, they basically just put their penises in her mouth, right?
Yeah. And the mom is like second, is back-talking everything she's saying, and obviously making it worse.
Yeah, but what's weird is, like, the mom just keeps blaming her.
Yeah, everything was her fault, like, and it's because you did this, and
no,
you made it.
There's no sympathy. She's not, like, or empathy, and there's nothing.
They also bring in Diane to get her to talk about it, and there's a mention of, okay, we'll bring in Special Victims Unit, or when Fancy goes to call, and then they come back after the interview, when they hear the story, and they get two names. Fancy says, oh, they want us to handle it until the Special Victims Night crew gets in. And I was like, that's convenient.
Yeah, I wrote that with a question mark. Like, I was like, oh.
Like, they could just be like, ah, we're busy. We'll wait till the night crew gets in. Like, what?
Like, and you're just giving, like, young, mentally challenged girl rape assault cases to the, like, C-minus team.
Oh, yeah,
you're like, hey, yeah, cool, this is cool.
Or you're just gonna let the homicide detectives take care of it. The guys who, they're not supposed to work on situations like this.
They've got nothing else to do.
There was also another moment that was like, at the first time I watched it, I was angry at Sipowicz, but then the second time I watched it, I realized he was just, like, giving, like, some truth bombs. When they're like, well, let's go pick up the kids, and he's like, they're gonna say it was consensual, and then Diane snaps back with, she said it wasn't. He's like, no, but it was consensual when she got the muffin, and it was consensual when she started drinking, and it was consensual when they got to the hotel room, but then it's not consensual when they started.
No, I mean, that's what a lawyer's gonna say.
Yeah, like that was...
Like, he has to think like a lawyer.
And that was, at first I was angry with Sipowicz because I thought that what he meant was like, oh yeah, like, she's all cool until it starts happening. But no, he was just saying, like, there's nothing we can do, really, about this situation, no matter how angry it makes us.
No, he's 100% right.
They bring up the prep school cocks, as I referred to them, Ted and Carrie, and
then two other dudes, right?
Well, this is just them two at first. And while they're bringing him up, they're talking to each other, and he's like, we know what this is about, and we just want to say that she was 100% complicit, and she was game for whatever we were doing. And then the guy's like, yeah, we didn't force her to do anything. And Sipowicz is like, oh, so we're all caught up here, guys? Okay, great, we're going to separate.
Well, they're still walking him up the stairs, yeah.
And then when they do, the guy's like, oh, your dad's here, man. And then they drag him into the rooms. And then the councilman, who, he was on...
Paul Thanos? Is it Paul Thanos?
But yeah,
no, it's Paul Manos.
Councilman Paul Manos is going
to... Paul Thanos with the Infinity Stones?
He's going on a rant inside Fancy's office, saying, don't you know that this kid's going to Harvard? He is a honor student, blah, 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 blah. And Fancy shuts him down, because he's like, I'm going to take him out of here. He's like, do you really want to do that? Because then it goes to the press, and charges may not even be filed. And then when he's like, oh, charges may not be filed, his ears perk up like a fucking dickhole. And he says, that's good, because this can destroy this kid's future. Something that has been said in recent cases about other white privileged dudes that raped people. And when he said
this, it is basically like a YouTube clip for how to get white dudes out of situations.
And when
sticky situations.
And when he said that, I got a blood red mad. And then he said, I'm gonna go in there with them. And one of the great, probably the most important scene, in my opinion, the second most important scene, is Sipowicz interviewing Ted, and Ted's father, Councilman Manos, comes in to supervise the interview.
Oh, yeah, and he keeps throwing little shade at him and shit.
And
it's the best.
And he keeps saying, like, talk slowly and clearly about what happened. And the kid's like, look, man, they worship this Carrie dude. And then she just wanted to make him happy. So, like, we got loaded. We were all loaded. We went to the hotel room, and she just started going at us. And Sipowicz, who is a G, says, so, am I to understand that she gave all of you oral sex, and that's supposed to make her feel better?
Yeah.
And then he said, and then he said, no, she wanted to make Carrie feel better. And then later down the line, he said, and she said, did she say no at all? He's like, nope, not at all. He's like, so she went to her home, locked herself in her room, got herself in trouble, all kinds of trouble with her mother, and caused a scene because she wanted to do this? And then...
I think it's great when they put the young kids in, like, those awkward situations. Like, later on with Sylvia as well.
Yeah, that scene, I have the entire quote ready to say the most, like, one of the greatest things ever written
but
for,
like,
the show.
The whole, like, the way they make them feel awkward is good, because you should. You should make young white men feel awkward for being assholes.
Oh, because the councilman keeps interrupting him. Right? So then he's...
Yeah, the councilman basically starts having a conversation with himself.
And he, like, at one point he's like, we're gonna talk about that, the drinking. And then he's like, I'm just so sick of these privileged kids, you know, walking around thinking they can do whatever they want with whoever they want. And then he's like, hey, were you under a table, Ted? Because
yeah.
That was the... Yeah. That councilman was underneath a table as a witness to the other murder that they had seasons ago. And he was hiding from... the shooter and giving wrong descriptions.
Well, he threw a big stink. That was the big deal.
Yeah.
He threw this big stink and talked all this shit about how the department ignored him, ignored the shooter there, and then when they went and got the description, he only could give them from the waist down. So he's an opportunist, and everything keeps, like, getting thrown in his face. They're basically just showing us, the NYPD Blue Riders, that they think politicians are...
Cox.
Opportunists who don't care about, like, their children, repercussions of their children's actions.
The other part that was super awkward is Sipowicz is like, oh, you mean that retarded girl? And he's and the councilman's like, retarded? And he's like, she's fully developed, Dad. And be like, oh, really? Let's get her in here and have a fucking conversation with her if she's so fucking developed, Ted. Like, I was...
Well, that raises the question. Like, okay, so is she or is she not? Like, some people think she's fully developed and fine.
Yeah, the people that think she's fully developed and fine are the people that want to fucking get a fucking blowjob from her. Like, this fucking asshole piece
of
shit kid.
Man, I am not on the side of the rapist.
Are you not?
Whether or not she is mentally challenged or not, or if quote-unquote fully developed or not, I'm not, rape is rape, I get it. But, like, is she or not?
She is, clearly.
But I have a feeling that maybe she's emotionally stunted because her mom is a psycho.
Well, yeah, that's 100% not helping.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't, like, we don't know.
And...
We don't have the medical records.
They end that interview because Sipowicz... Because the kid then says, look, maybe she felt, you know... Maybe she felt bad after she sobered up, and maybe she regretted what she did, but, you know, I can't be responsible for that. And then Sipowicz throws his pencil down and his notes, and he says, ah, you're a phony bastard. Reminds me of that TV kiss ass on Leave It to Beaver.
He breaks from being a cop.
And he just starts shouting at him. And then the councilman's like, oh yeah, well, if anyone tries to make capital off this, they're going to hear from me, and then he leaves. So then they confer with Fancy, and Simone has his kid, and he's like, oh, she had a real big crush on him, and she just wanted to make him happy. But he won't give me the names of who else was with him. Or he wouldn't say who else was with them. And Sipowicz said, my asshole gave up the names.
Yeah.
We'll just go confirm. And... Then, it's a little small thing, Martinez comes up and says, I talked to the maid at the hotel. They said that she snuck up through the fire escape to get into their hotel room.
Yeah, the four boys went in and they snuck her in through the back or something like that. Because they, cause I think they said they, earlier on, they said they went to the hotel and the guy said he couldn't remember if the girl went in with them or not.
Sipowicz and Simone go back to the woman and her daughter and tell her, or try to get the other two, or confirm on the other two guys. And the mom's like, so you gonna arrest them then? And they're like, we had them in. You need to prepare yourself that they're not gonna be arrested. So then, she then looks over to her daughter and said, look, you made it too easy for them. Because of how you are. Now they can't even charge him because you were too complicit. So then she...
You made it easy. They can't even press charges.
And so the girl, Annette, freaks out and runs to her room and slams the door. And Simone tries to get through to her by saying, like, hey, this is your daughter. And she had a sexual experience. And you're treating her like this. Like, it was...
It should have taken them this long to figure that out.
And... Like, when they try to say to her, like, okay, this is the situation, she's like, did they bribe you? And, like, the look on Sipowicz's face is like, nobody got no bribe. Like, just like the...
I had a feeling, well, I had a feeling that that look was more of, like, fuck you. Like,
yeah, yeah, that was...
We're trying really, really hard to take care of your daughter and try to figure out who did this to her, and you're being a total asshole.
You're being the absolute worst. And she...
Yeah.
And then she's like, well, you guys are too lazy to do your job. And then they're like... And they basically come out with her as like, how about you just be a good fucking mom for like 5 goddamn seconds?
Yeah, like, see if your daughter's okay.
And then she demands they get out. When they do, yeah,
she freaks out. It's really weird.
They come back to the station house, and the only reason I'm going to mention this, as they're coming back to the station house, they're having a conversation on the stairs, and he's like, Sylvia's going to hate this one. And he's like, oh, she's riding today? He's like, yeah, how are you going to file on these piss pots? They also have a conversation about the stairs again. He's like, I think I pulled a back muscle twice going up and down 7 flights of stairs. Simone said...
Talking about how Andy's fat and out of shape.
Simone says, it looks like you're getting your exercise. He's like, yeah, today through Friday. Fred, this is the part where Fred comes back, and the only reason I want to mention it is because he says, whoop wanna, and yeah. Sipowicz says, whoop wanna what, Fred? What do you wanna whoop? I was like, that's pretty awesome. Also a very strange moment. Andy sits down with Fred. This is when he gets some information out of him, tries to call his mother. James takes this moment to sneak over to Gina, and James is like, well, how you getting on? And she's like, oh, I'm okay. That guy's a little strange, but he seems harmless. And this is the quote. This is a quote that a dude who's trying to run game on this girl said.
Oh, God.
Andy says he bit the heads off of his mother's parakeets, but I think that was some kind of, like, family situation. But I mean, in general, you settling in okay? Andy says he bit the heads off of his mother's birds, but I think that was kind of a family situation. But I mean, in general, you settling in okay? And then he hands her an apple, and he's like, it's a little less suspicious than a rose. And I was like, I think an apple is just as suspicious. She's not your teacher, James.
Yeah, like day two. Like, really, people don't really know that you guys know each other. Like, and you're just bringing a bitch an apple.
And then the next day, I brought her a banana and 2 oranges. Like,
ooh. If someone brought me an apple that I hardly knew, I'd be like, "What? What is this? Why? What is this for?"
He looks like he's gonna help Fred.
He's gonna whoop wanna Fred.
He's trying to help Fred, and then Simone runs down what he's got with Sylvia, and. As they're doing...
They need someone to talk to them, so Sylvia volunteers to talk to them.
Well, no. That hasn't happened just yet.
I know, but in the sake of time, I think it has to happen.
Well, because no, I'm mixing, like, 3 scenes together. The mom comes in freaking out because she doesn't know... God,
she still hasn't done this yet.
Yeah, she doesn't know where her daughter is. They try to search for her, and she's busting their balls. And Simone...
Yeah, now all of a sudden she needs help, so she's trying to be nice.
But she doesn't even... She's not even nice. Like, she keeps busting balls, as Sipowicz would say. And Simone kind of cracks on her, and he's like, look, we're trying to help you find your daughter. If you don't have any more information, it's not going to help us. And she goes, don't take that tone with me. And then Sipowicz says, he's taking that tone with you because you've done nothing but break balls all day. And we're just trying to help your daughter. She gets a call from her daughter's kindergarten teacher who said she was trying to ask if she could live with her. And when the kindergarten teacher said no, she went up to the roof and hung outside the step, like the ladder, to go down the fire escape.
Yeah.
When they get there, she yells out, Annette, and then you know something's about to happen because the screen gets all wonky with weird effects and weird sound, and Annette jumps and kills herself.
Dude, is it just me, but does she not fall for a really long time?
Well, it's... because I don't know how far she's supposed to be. I don't think they really established how far or up she's supposed to be.
I just felt like they dragged that shit on.
Well, it's supposed to be a big moment. And then they do, like, the weird wonky effect when she screams Annette's name. And then it's, like, slow motion. And then she hits the ground and Sipowicz crouches next to it in silent contemplation while Simone holds the mother as she's silently screaming. You know, classic NYPD blue shit.
I guess. Simone always being the comforting one.
So... they come back to the house after the girl dies. Kind of a funny moment. As they walk back in, Fred stands up from Sipowicz's chair and goes, whoop. And Sipowicz just goes, just a minute, Fred. And then Fred sits back down. It was just funny to me. But they go talk to Fancy and Sylvia.
You got a little giggle out of that.
Yeah, that was funny to me. Sylvia's reading over the notes, and she's clearly pissed. And... she's looking at the file, and they walk up, and they say, do we have enough to indict? And she goes, nah.
She's right. They don't really have anything. They don't have enough concrete evidence.
And Fancy says the councilman wants to bring the kids up to have a talking to. And Sylvia's like, I'll talk to the sons of bitches.
Yeah, she's ready to go. She's ready to talk to them.
There's one moment where Sipowicz is like, well, how's Theo? And she's like, I talked to the babysitter 20 minutes ago. He's fine. This is the scene where the four boys and Councilman Thanos, are in the room, and Manos gives, like, a little preamble where Thanos. He's like, shut up, where he...
we're calling him Thanos.
We're not calling him Thanos. He basically gives, like, a preamble where he's like, they're gonna explain to you what you almost did here to your futures. And... Sylvia's like, they didn't...
All I kept thinking of when he was talking was Mr. Backy from South Park. Like, when Mr. Mackey, like, tries to give the kids motivational speeches, and he kind of even had that, like, voice to it. I just was thinking of Mr. Mackey, like...
so we're going to talk about what could have happened to your futures.
Yeah, it was just, I don't know, it made me laugh.
Well, there was never an episode on South Park where Mr. Mackey was like, rape is bad, okay? So don't rape.
Probably will be now.
Yeah. shit. So, I'm gonna read the quote, because it's amazing. It isn't the entire thing, but she, essentially after she gets the floor, she says, well, from what I read, there is nothing to indict you. And he's like, but that is in no way a reason to not take a lesson from this. And then she says the following, and because there are no legal penalties that any of you can expect to suffer, and because none of you exhibits the slightest moral sense or quality of character which would bring you to confront your disgraceful complicity in what happened to this girl on your own, because it's clear that there's no guidance forthcoming from anyone's parents, and she looks at Manos, whose father are you, Councilman? I'm Ted's father. Well, obviously, you're a cynic and an opportunist, and my husband, and by my husband's account, a coward and a liar. And none of the other...
that's my favorite part.
And none of the other parents have seen fit to make a phone call. My parents are in Greece. There's that Carrie fuckface. Which is why...
They keep making a point to hammer home that his parents are in Greece.
They say it twice, yeah. Which is why I am so confident that you boys will leave this room to lead lives filled with the disgusting and contemptible behavior, the selfish and empty viciousness that you displayed so precociously in the matter of this girl's death. And then she smiles and says, okay, and leaves.
Yeah, I mean, she tears him a new one.
Well, it's interesting. It's like a speech that, well, we've already used a lot of time, but it's a speech that you have this moment to talk directly to people that will never face the consequences of horrible, horrible actions. And because the person giving the speech is smart enough to know, because there's no consequences, it really doesn't matter what they say to them. So what she says to him is like, just so you know, I know you'll never change, but you are the worst human beings in the world.
Because she does it in a way where it's like she's backhanding them. So if they do argue, then it's like, what, are you saying you did rape this girl? You know what I mean? Like, it's, yeah.
And because the beginning of the speech, she says, there wasn't enough to indict you, even if she didn't die. And then one of the kids goes, well, that doesn't make it any, which makes it even more sad. And she's like, oh, yeah, more sad. Oh, yeah, it was
awesome. She's not feeling it.
It was a good scene. Definitely worth watching the episode. But
yeah, it was the best scene of the episode. She does a really good job in it. I think she partly does it, like, for Andy, too. Because she knows, like, deep down inside how much this case probably bothers Andy, because the girl shouldn't have died.
Mm-hmm.
And she was young. You know, and Andy gets all freaked out about young kids and them dying. But
when they leave, this is when there's a little back and forth moment with Sipowicz and Simone busting on Sipowicz's weight, because he goes to eat a chocolate and he asks when's the next weigh-in.
And he's like, yeah, when I'm down or something. Yeah, he says some like very like super dramatic line.
He says, you gonna bust my nuts about my weight now? Gonna hit me while I'm down from exhaustion?
Yeah, he says like some super like diva line.
That's when the rollerblader comes in and then they like shoo Diane away and then they shoo Sipowicz away, which is funny. Because they say, like, hey, wouldn't you rather do this in the interview room? And he's like, yeah, that is what I would like to do.
Yeah, he's not amused.
That's when there's the confrontation between Bobby and Russell, because things are getting more and more rocky there. And then Simone has a conversation with Kirkendall, who mentions that she has two boys and her husband are no longer together.
Yeah. She's working the night shift so she can be with them or something like that?
Yeah, something to the effect of, I'm working 4x so that I could spend more time with them on the weekend that I get them.
Yeah.
And then Simone starts to walk out, just picks up the phone for Russell and says she's not there. I don't know if that's foreshadowing or supposed to be foreshadowing, but
yeah, like, I don't know who would be calling Russell unless, like, it's her boss or something. It was weird.
And then he hangs it up and he walks out, and that's the end of the episode. There is one moment that was kind of interesting where Kirkendall goes,
oh, you forgot the mom. The mom comes back looking for the doll.
Yeah, that just made me angry because she was like, oh, I think my voice made her jump. And because you can't berate women that just lost their children, you'd be like, oh, you think it was your voice? Yeah. You think it maybe that it was your voice and constant bitching and being a complete asshole? Do you think that's maybe what drew her to do that? Because she thought you hated her for the rest of her life because of the mistake she made?
Dude, I'm 100% with you.
Like, it was very frustrating dealing with that woman. And now she's looking for the doll and going through her own kind of psychotic break. But the other thing that I wanted to bring up that was weird, a little bit of foreshadowing that knows where NYPD Blue goes in terms of story. Kirkendall asks Simone, do you have any kids? He says, no, not yet. But it's like, well, Russell's kind of on the ropes, man. Like, unless you got another lady on deck, unless you're spreading that Simone seed.
I think they were flirting with this whole Kirkendall-Simone thing, because later on we'll see, but like,
Which I'm glad.
I just think like the fans wanted Simone and Russell more than Simone and Kurt at all, I think. But
yeah, for reals.
Yeah.
Is there anything you want to say about this episode that we didn't cover, which I doubt because we spent a lot of time on it?
No. Just that Bob's a horrible person. That's all I really took away from it.
And if you were following the series, what's happening in these two episodes, there were a lot of mentally challenged people. You got Fred.
Yeah, there were.
You got Fred. You got Annette. You got that.
The last episode, there was a question if someone was mentally challenged or not.
Yeah, so it's it kind of feels weird. Like maybe the writers are like, "Oh, we'll just throw another mentally challenged guy in there. It'll help with the story."
Or they're trying to bring, or maybe they're trying to bring light to it. I don't know.
Show different sides and aspects of it.
That they go through. This is good. This one was a good. This one was a good episode because of like how it ends and what Sylvia said.
So, yeah, that scene. I feel like this episode should be played. I don't know. I don't know how to finish that sentence. I just feel like everybody should. I feel like everybody should watch this episode.
I feel like everyone should hear that. Everyone should watch this episode and then like.
Like question their own feelings.
Yeah, it's just like it's good to hear.
Also, this is a little gripe, but they really shouldn't have called it Ted and Carrie's Bogus Adventure. That really doesn't have the weight of what happens to Ted and Carrie.
Yeah.
Because that makes it seem like the way they would describe it is like, man, and then this like lawyer lady harshed our buzz after we raped that girl. It was a real bogus day.
In 4 years when they're seniors at Harvard and they're getting drunk, they'll be talking about, like, remember that time, that bogus time that bitch tried to get us from raping her? She wanted to suck our dicks, man.
Or when Ted's getting possibly confirmed as like a Supreme Court justice and they bring it up and they really fuck up his chances.
And he starts screaming about a calendar.
Squee! And Tim Tom and Butternuts! I don't know their names.
Oh, man.
Every episode of NYPD Blue Balls is on AsherBrothersPodcast.com, iTunes, Stitcher, where you find a podcast. We're on Twitter at AsherBrosPod, Instagram, AsherBrothersPodcast, letting you know when new episodes are out. Schedule is every other Tuesday in case, you know, life happens and finds a way or when there's something to put out sooner. So thanks for listening and keep watching NYPD Blue.
Yeah.
Would you say that's weird? Sorry, I fucked that up.
What?
Would you say that's weird?
No. I wasn't going to say that's weird. It's just hard because there's a delay sometimes. So
yeah.
It's like, if I'm like a second short, it fucks it up. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, yeah, have a good one.
Peace.
Watch the movie Rampage.
Thank you once again for listening to NYPD Blue Balls. If you have a moment, please rate and review the show on whatever platform you're listening to it on. If you do that, it might give us a chance to be seen by other people, and more people might listen to the show and start watching NYPD Blue, which is what this is really about, getting more fans of NYPD Blue, the best show ever. Also, if you need more NYPD Blue goodness in your life, you could check out some books. There's a book called True Blue about the first couple seasons written by the creators and consultants of the show. There is a book called An Unofficial Guide to NYPD Blue by Gene Kendall, who wrote, you know, a compendium to the entire series. It's only 99 cents on Amazon. There's also a book called What Would Sipowicz Do? A collection of articles about the show on different topics. I've started it. It's pretty awesome. If you don't have the DVDs of NYPD Blue, you could always check out Hulu and Amazon Prime Streaming. They have every single episode of NYPD Blue up there, and you could watch it on all your devices. And they got tons of other stuff to watch too, so get one of them and start watching NYPD Blue.